Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for tuning into the show again tonight. Wanted to also tell you guys that we do have some exciting news coming up. It does look like that's going to be announced next week. More than one announcement, which is kind of cool. So I'll stop teasing you guys about it, but it is it's going to be exciting. So I hope you guys are ready for that. But tonight, what we're going to do is we're just going to do kind of what we did last year during the season. After each week, at some point in the middle of the week, we're going to go over the Pro Football Focus grades for the Colts, the top Colts for the most part, and kind of discuss why they got their grade, what we agree with, disagree with, so on and so forth. And we'll go from there. So some of you guys have been wanting to do this, and it's fun to at least go through these occasionally. Don't always agree with them, and that's kind of about the consensus from anybody and everybody who looks at these grades, but overall it gives us a kind of an idea of what we think and what our thought process is on what we saw the week before. So let's go through the quarterbacks, obviously, first and see how Andrew Luck showed out. Everybody, look, 53 attempts, I think, 74% completion rate, just about. I love what Andrew Luck did. I don't like that he threw as many times as he did, but he did really well for the most part after that interception. It was great on third down. Andrew Luck looked excellent, and I'm excited to see what he does this season. He was sixth overall with an 82.3 grade. Fitzpatrick is actually leading the NFL right now. Then Drew Brees, Joe Flacco had a hell of a game as well. Patrick Mahomes, that's kind of a surprise to me. But Tom Brady and then Andrew Luck. So, and Andy Dalton was right after Andrew Luck on that. And now, do we agree with that? Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I agree with it because I just don't really have any issues with the fact that Andrew Luck is rated, you know, sixth right now. I just think that that's pretty much a guarantee that he's about at that spot right now, considering how many, you know, like I said, his completion rate, two touchdowns. Just the one bad play earlier, but he was so good the rest of the game, it only makes sense. So let's move on to the halfbacks here. And the Colts, you know, they're not going to have one of the top running backs in this division, or in the league for that matter. That's just not the way it's going to be. But how they use them could end up giving them some solid grades throughout the season. Nyheim Hines comes in at number 24 with a 60.5 grade. I thought he had a nice game. He definitely looked like a much better receiver, you know, as far as ball control than we thought he was going to be in the return game. So you like to see what he did. He was used quite a bit. He was targeted quite a bit. I thought he had a nice game. Jordan Wilkins is at 35th with a 56.4 grade. I like Jordan Wilkins a lot. I want to see more urgency from him in the backfield. I want to see him really trying to make a solid attempt to hit these holes as quickly as possible when they're available. His patience is what drives me nuts sometimes, because there's holes available, but it seems like he's waiting for a better hole. And we know what that does. That does nothing but get you swallowed up real quick, especially at the line, near the line of scrimmage. So let's move on to the wide receivers. All in all, this is another position for the Colts. We should not expect the Colts to be, you know, amongst the top 10, top 15 in this, unless, of course, T.Y. Hilton has a fantastic game. That's really the only breakout guy I think that we see to not only add the consistency of receptions, but to make something happen out of them, and so on and so forth. So Ryan Grant actually leads the Colts. He's all the way down at 51st, I guess, with a 61.4 grade. You like what he did. He was consistent. He made some good catches. He didn't do much after the catch, but nobody did, really. So, I mean, you've got to give him credit for being available, being there, making the catch. I just think that there's a lot of guys that could do what he does right now. Hopefully he continues to ascend. I mean, you know, I everybody knows that I'm not very high on him from what we've seen so far. But, you know, like I said, if he can be that consistent guy underneath and catch those, I think it's an odd role for him. But, you know, so be it. Somebody's got to do it. Let's move on to Chester Rogers. He comes in at 56th with a 59.5 grade. Chester didn't have a whole lot of opportunities or anything in the first week. I expect him to have a bunch more as the season goes on. And I think he's going to obviously have a really nice season pending him staying healthy. T.Y. Hilton all the way down at 79th, tied with Michael Crabtree with a 53.9 grade. There's just, you know, this is whatever. He had a big drop that I thought could have possibly gone for a touchdown. And I think that most people think that too. I didn't really get a chance to watch him as far as off the line of scrimmage to see how strong he was or how elusive he was or anything like that. But I'll go back and watch that and kind of get a better idea maybe of why they had him so low. I just thought aside from that drop, you know, he was pretty solid, even though he didn't get a ton of snaps either. But let's move on to the tight ends. Eric Ebron leads the Colts here, with coming in at 14th with a 69.1 grade. Nice touchdown. You love what you saw from Ebron, even though he didn't get a ton of snaps. I think he only had 25 or 36 total snaps in the game. And I didn't expect him necessarily to be that underused. I thought that he and Doyle would both be getting quite a bit of usage. But the thing is that Ebron is that kind of guy who's not a blocker. He is a guy that they can line up everywhere. But then again, so are there are other guys there too. There are actual receivers that get lined up outside. Nyheim Hines, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'd expect him to get more snaps going forward. But it looks like, you know, Jack Doyle is going to be the guy to get the lion's share of the snaps in Indianapolis. Speaking of Jack, he comes in at 26th. With a 60.7 grade. Outside of that fumble, he had an excellent game. There's really no disputing that. I know that a lot of people are making a big deal about the fumble. And yes, you know, I mean, if we're being honest, right, the fumble did actually possibly cost the Colts the game, but we still don't know what would have happened after that. He could have caught that, gone down, and then T.Y. Hilton could have fumbled at the 5 or something. You know what I'm saying? So, putting the blame on him, yes, it's accurate, I guess, to an extent. But at the same time, the Colts should never have been in a position where they had to come back from 4 down. They were, what, 13 ahead at one point. Jack Doyle is so sure-handed and such a quality, consistent guy on this roster. I just have a hard time going after him with this. But, you know, do as you will. It doesn't really make much of a difference. So let's move on to the tackles. And here and look, I thought that Jamarcus Webb did a better job than most people were going to give him credit for. I thought Joe Haig did a better job than most people were going to give him credit for. And they both were very similar, obviously. And so this, I don't know how the grade would shake out if I was to grade them too, but I would have put them both very close as far as how impressive they were. And I'm not saying that they were impressive, but how good they were through the game. I would put them about at the same, and Pro Football Focus at least agrees in that regard. Haig comes in at 28th with a 64.6, and Jamarcus Webb is right behind him at 29th with a 64.5. And I mean, all in all, look, the Colts are going to get Anthony Costanzo back this week. The Colts are, I mean, Jamarcus Webb got IR'd, so, you know, he's not going to play anymore, you know, at least for what, 8 or 9 weeks. And so now the Colts have to make sure that they've got that right tackle spot sewn up. You know, the Raven Clark come in, and is he strictly a left tackle backup? Does Joe Haig move over to right tackle? I think probably. Braden Smith is a backup there at right tackle. Coach Reich said that today. So they've got some options at right tackle. It's not that big a deal. More impressively, it is the issue with Anthony Costanzo coming back. Hopefully he is ready for week 2, because the Colts do need him, and that offensive line needs him for the run blocking and for the pass protection. So that's something that we can all agree on, that's going to get better with Anthony Costanzo, hopefully, if he is 100%. So let's move on to the guard play. Again, you know, the Colts weren't extremely highly ranked in this, even though I felt like they played pretty well. Quentin Nelson leads the team with, he's at 27th with a 62.9 grade. And look, Nelson's a beast. He's not going to be perfect, as a lot of people think he should be, because he was so highly regarded. He is still a rookie. He is still a badass, though, too. So I'm not at all upset. If he had a couple of snaps where he got beat, I mean, he's human. It's going to happen. He is still a massive, massive upgrade from anything that the Colts have had at that position in a long time. So let's move on. Matt Slauson's coming in at 37th with a 60.3 grade. Now, I thought he played fairly well, too, but he's just, you know, one of those. He's just not that. He's just not great. He's not going to be great. And so I don't think that we should expect him to be. He is there for the intimidation, more or less, the tone setting ability, the physicality that he brings to that interior, because that's what they need. They need guys that are going to take other people out. And that's what he brings. So I like what they've got so far. The guy leading the defense here. Center Ryan Kelly, he comes in at number 6 in the league with a 70.9 grade. So I thought he had a good game. I wouldn't necessarily say that I thought he had the best of the three, but he did have a big workload to put up with, and I thought he did a really nice job with that. I think Ryan Kelly is back. I'm excited for him to be back, and I just think that this defense, or this offensive line, is going to be worlds better than what they've been in the past. So let's move on to the defense now. And just a note, as we look at the corners, Quentin Dunbar, he's number 1 from Washington with a 92.3 grade. He had a pick, 3 passes defensed the other night in their first game. So that's what the Colts are going up against this week, at least one of them. The other one's Josh Norman. So, I mean, the Colts have a lot to work against in the secondary. But let's look at where the Colts came in here. And Kenny Moore is the first one for the Colts at number 29. And he tied with Patrick Robinson in New Orleans with a 71.8 grade. I thought Kenny Moore had a nice game. I felt like he, you know, that pick may give him a little bit of a boost in where he is or should be. But one way or another, he made the play. He did a nice job being physical against the run, and I thought he was solid in coverage as well. So next is Nate Hairston. He's all the way down here at tied for 63rd with some good names. So this is, like I said, this is the first week. Tre'Davious White's down there. William Jackson from Cincinnati's down here. He ended up with a 59 grade, a grade of 59. And I thought that he had a pretty solid game, too. I'm not upset with what the Colts have in the secondary at this moment. I think they're okay, and I think that they're going to get significantly better, especially this guy, Quincy Wilson. He's down at 99th with a 29.1 grade. They did not like the way he played. He had 40 snaps. I thought that he played okay as well, but he is hampered by, you know, that club on his hand, and that's just something that's going to come with the territory. And he looked a step slow. He you know, he likes to use his hands a lot, and that's something that comes with the territory with these physical corners, and he's just going to have to get better, and he's going to have to do, you know, his technique's going to have to be more sound. So let's move on to the safeties. The Matthias Farley, he comes in at number 6 with an 82.2 grade, forced a fumble, was quality in coverage, good against the run, big hitter. I think we're seeing that Matthias Farley is, you know, hey, you can draft guys, you can bring in, you know, that you can have Clayton Gethers come back from his injury. I'm still going to be here kicking butt as much as possible. So good for Matthias Farley, excited for him. That was he had a good game. Let's see how many snaps he had. 23. So not a ton of snaps on the defensive side of the ball, but he made him count. And that's, you know, that's what counts here. So you kind of take that into consideration as well when you're looking at these grades. He small sample size, which is also a much easier way to go down the rankings, but he made the best of his. So you got to give it to him for that. Malik Hooker down here at 37th with a 66.9 grade overall, 65.2 against the pass, 61.1 against the run. 41 snaps for Malik Hooker. I think Hooker did a good job as well, and I think Clayton Gethers did a good job. I think these two are going to continue to rise. The chemistry around this group in the secondary is key, and that's what's ultimately going to help this Colts defense in the regular season, or throughout the rest of this regular season, is how well they gel. And this is all part of the process. Week 1 is in the books. Kind of put it in your rear view, man, because a lot of teams lost that probably shouldn't have, and a lot of teams won that probably shouldn't have as well. But one thing is for sure, everybody is learning and growing, and this is what we want from the Colts. They're a young group. That's what we need anyway. So looking down here, let's see. Clayton Gethers is at 43rd with a 63.5 grade. Again, not as good against the run, but better against the pass. I thought he did a pretty solid job, and I don't know if I'm actually going to fall in line with that. Actually, he didn't do better against the pass, a little bit less than Malik Hooker, I was going to say. So I don't know, like I said, on some of these, I don't know how I would grade them necessarily is where I would put their grade in a numbers term. But one thing's for sure is I felt like they were solid, not great, and that kind of shows as well. Let's move on to the linebackers. Anthony Walker had a good game. I told you guys this. I like that he wasn't allowing a bunch of extra yardage after the catch. He was doing a nice job coming up and plugging. They gave him a 78.4 over, against the pass. I like that. I think that's good. He's 13th overall with a 76.6 grade, though. So that shows you that Sky Moore's good. We don't know what he would grade out with all those snaps, and Anthony Walker only had 23 snaps himself. But they rotate these guys quite a bit. So you'd like to see Anthony Walker having a good game, especially at the mic. I think that's a good role for him, probably the best role. Looking at Darius Leonard, he's 28th overall with a 69.2 grade. He had 56 snaps. That, to me, is more impressive more than anything, right? He's a guy, he's all over the field. He's definitely a guy that the Colts are going to be using. He's going to be a superstar. I think most of us agree on that, at least fandom. I don't know what national they think. I'm sure there's a much more wait-and-see approach, but I love what he brings to the team and all the excitement and the speed and everything. He looks like he's going to be the real deal, so... Sky Moore is down here at 65th overall with a 48.3 grade, 27 snaps for the game on him. That's kind of interesting. I didn't realize that he played more than Anthony Walker. But look, Sky Moore is going to be a guy of the future for the Colts. He's not just a UDFA. He's going to be a longtime Colt, in my opinion, especially if he continues to play the way he has. He continues to be quality in coverage and be able to, if he can force a couple of these turnovers that he's so close to forcing, I think that the Colts are going to be in really good shape with him. So look down here at the defensive lineman, the interior defensive lineman, Denico Autry, he's number 15th overall with an 82 even. And I thought he did a nice job, didn't flash a whole bunch, but you see that he's consistent, quick with his hands, and he likes to use them, and he continues to use them. Al Woods is down at 63rd with a 61.4 grade. You know, that first drive, that first snap where he forced that interception, you know, he couldn't do that again. He couldn't repeat that necessarily throughout the rest of the game, but that definitely helped. Down here at 79th overall is Grover Stewart with a 56 overall, 56 grade. And I think that he's another guy who's going to do nothing but rise for the Colts as well as time goes on. And I like what the Colts have in a lot of different places on this defense regardless. So, not everybody's going to agree, and that's fine. But I really like what the Colts have in a couple of these spots, especially when you consider the future and what it can mean for them once they continue to build this way. Jabal Sheard, 9th. Marcus Hunt, 10th in the edge grade, 79.4 and 79 even, respectively. Got to like that from Marcus Hunt. 2 sacks on the day. Definitely a guy who showed that this is how you bull rush. and I thought he did a nice job. I wasn't so impressed with Jabal Sheard. I'm kind of surprised that he's a little bit higher than that. Both of them played just 40 and 42 snaps respectively, but I think that I'm not so sure that Sheard, aside from the a few of the pressures that he forced, that he had such a great game either. But I'll take it. If the Colts are going to get some notoriety, we might as well accept it, because they're not going to get much anywhere else. Kamoko Ture down here at 87th overall with a 47.6 grade. And I think we saw some real flashes from him. We continue to see real flashes from him, and that's exciting going forward. He's definitely a speed rush guy. They've just got to be able to get him to use not only with the technique to improve, but the power has to improve as well with that. So hope you guys enjoyed the show. Like I said, sticking right to the guns here with the PFF grades. Wanted to give them all to you, not just the top 3 or 4, from the team. But we see that there's some potential from the Colts, even regardless of, you know, how many grains of salt you want to take this with. Look at the Colts as a team that is rising and is building and has the potential to have some really good games. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you soon right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.